Folks, on the one hand, we are celebrating the 75th anniversary of our school, but in the midst of all of that, we have Barbara Shawn here, who's celebrating 80 years of her birthday. So, congratulations to her, 80 years. And it's good to see tears in your eyes. That's how I feel when I think about all our elderly parishioners, but also our school and our parish, and more than anything else, the Pope. Gosh, I hope you've been excited. I've never seen so much TV in my whole life. I just can't pull myself off from the screen. And fortunately, I was able to watch those very, very important moments, especially when he spoke to the congregation. What I hope to do this morning is to reflect on the Pope's visit and bring in where our school is at this point of history and bring them both together. It's not an easy task, but I'm going to try. Let me begin with the Pope, though. Today is the last day of his visit. I don't know what he said to the bishops this morning. I haven't caught up with that, but this is still last night. One of these days, I tweeted, this is what I said, I've never been more proud of being a Catholic priest as I am today. I'm thrilled to be a priest in the Pope Francis era. There's no doubt in my mind that as he concludes his visit today, that he's creating history. And I want to use today's readings to reflect upon his visit and then weave our celebration of the 75th anniversary of the school with it. You will laugh at me. The bad news is that I have 5 points. But the good news is I'm only going to share 3. Is that okay? So those of you who want a fuller text can go on the internet. It's on my Facebook page already, but also on our Ite Missa and our parish websites. But here is my reflection on the Pope's visit. First of all, I want to talk about the Pope who breaks down walls. On the penultimate day of his visit, the Pope had a mass at a basilica in Philadelphia, and the bishops and the priests and the religious were there. And here is how he began his homily. He said, "This morning I learned something about the history of this beautiful cathedral, the story behind its high walls and windows. I would like to think, though, that the history of the church in this city and state is really a story not about building walls, but about breaking them down. America will have to think about just that statement for years." His entire visit to the United States can be described as a mission to break down walls. In today's first reading, and in the gospel reading, you get a sense of what it means to break down walls. There is this successor of Moses, Joshua, who's being trained by Moses. And one of these days, they gathered in a tent to pray for the Spirit to come upon them so they could prophesy. Joshua comes to know that two people, Eldad and Medad, outside the tent, also began to prophesy. And he gets nervous. And he comes to Moses and said, "Moses, please stop them. They are not one of us. Stop them." And Moses said, "Please think like God does. Stop this us and them business." He said, "I wish the Holy Spirit would come on everybody and everybody would prophesy." The vision of a prophet. In today's gospel reading, the disciples get very nervous because somebody who is not part of them was trying to cast out demons. And the disciples say, "Jesus, stop them." And Jesus says, "No. No. If they're not against us, they're for us." Moses was building bridges. Jesus was building bridges. The Pope is building bridges. He's breaking down walls. And there are two stories that come to my mind. I'm reading between the lines in all of this. But there were two stories during the Pope's visit that told us how he's breaking walls. When he spoke to the Congress, he knew about the politics of us and them. You and I know that the respect for our leaders in this country is the lowest ever. And this bipartisan politics, the Pope was very aware of it. And he proposed a way to break that wall. He proposed the golden rule. This yardstick, he said, reminds us of our responsibility to protect and defend human life at every stage of the development. And something funny happened when the Pope said that. The people on the right, the conservatives, cheered loud because here's the Pope talking about respect for life at every stage. They thought that he was talking about abortion, and he was. But in the very next statement, he talked about capital punishment. And then the left began to cheer because they thought the Pope was aiming for those pro-lifers who are anti-abortion but support capital punishment. So everybody cheered. And in my assessment, in this one statement, he was breaking down the walls of separation between conservatives and liberals. While each side thought that he was talking about the other, because they were both cheering at different times, he suddenly realized that actually he was talking to everybody. Everybody needs change. And that one statement in that entire talk, in that one statement and what followed, he had broken down the walls. There is another story. In this entire visit thus far, there was only one person who has broken the barricades. And this person was a five-year-old girl. Her name is Sophia Cruz. She's from across the borders. The Pope, his very first statement in the United States, public statement was, "I am the son of an immigrant." And how providential that if all the people that broke the barriers that day was this Hispanic child, who the security people got very nervous about. They were trying to take her away, but then the Pope said, "Let her come, let her come." And he just grabbed this girl and gave her the biggest hug. I cried. This girl's parents are undocumented parents. She hands him a letter and says, "Please, would you help legalize my parents' stay here in the United States? I am the son of an immigrant." Look at the symbolism of that event. The child who broke the barrier was a Hispanic child with undocumented. This is exactly what's happening on the borders. This is symbolic, it's providential. It's God speaking to this nation. And just like the Pope said, "Let them come to me," I wish that our people would say, we are going to be a people that are not us and them, but that we will break barriers, we will break boundaries. Who has the courage to think like the Pope? And this is where I admire our school. This school is not what it was 75 years back. If you saw the kids that were there. Here's what I'm proud about our school. And you parents, you are the most amazing parents that are. Look at the diversity here. And as I say, in our school, we don't just tolerate diversity, welcome diversity, we celebrate diversity. Yes, there are many parents that have left our school because we were diverse. But there are those who chose us precisely Because on the borders between Kettering and Riverside and Dayton, this institution stands as an institution that breaks down walls. We build bridges. And parents, I don't know what happens in the kind of conversations that happen at homes and neighborhoods. May I please ask you, be proud of who we are. We've got to stop this us and them politics and think like the Pope is asking us to think. So the second point that I'm trying to make is I'm calling the Pope of the peripheries. This is a very important word for Pope Francis, peripheries. Who are on the edges of society? Who are on the boundaries? Who cannot come center stage? In his address at Philadelphia yesterday, he used that word again, peripheries. Now, in his address to the Congress, the Pope used four people in the history of this nation to give his reflection. And the four people were Abraham Lincoln, Martin Luther King Jr., Dorothy Day, and Thomas Merton. Now everybody knows who Abraham Lincoln is and what he stood for. Everybody knows who Martin Luther King is, and people know what they stood for. But very few people know about Dorothy Day and Thomas Merton. And when the Pope uttered these names, in the Catholic world, there was a gasp. I'll tell you very soon why. But the Pope was doing something very prophetic. Because this Pope is a Pope of the peripheries. He's a Pope who is an inclusive Pope. Dorothy Day today is recognized as a servant of God. Hopefully someday she will be a saint. In fact, yesterday I was praying for a patient who has leukemia and has only 4 to 6 weeks to live. I prayed to Dorothy Day, hoping for a miracle. I'm hoping for that. Dorothy Day's story is not all clean. She had an abortion in her younger days, a failed marriage, and a child out of wedlock. She was passionately anti-war and was a convert to Catholicism. It took long for the Catholic world to recognize the power of what she was doing, especially in starting the Catholic worker movement. And she fought for the rights of workers in America. Thomas Merton, who later became a Trappist monk in his younger days in Cambridge, led a wild life and he fathered an illegitimate child. He later became a Trappist monk, and I said, Thomas Merton was a champion of interreligious dialogue and pacifism. When the United States Catholic Catechism for Adults was being composed, there was a debate whether his name should be included as one of the names who have contributed to the Catholic heritage in the United States. At that time, in the discussion, they said that he was not important. His name was not included among those who have contributed to the history and the heritage of the United States. Yet Pope Francis used him and Dorothy Day, two not very likely people, to reflect on the American ethos. He included people who otherwise would be excluded. This is the Pope of inclusion. Perhaps this explains why after his talk with the senators, he skipped lunch with them and had lunch with the homeless people at the headquarters of Catholic Charities. He didn't have lunch with the senators, he went and had lunch with homeless people. This explains why when he was in New York, he reached out to this police officer who was sitting on the wheelchair and shook his hand and acknowledged what he was doing. Perhaps Perhaps this explains why he visited a school in Harlem which caters to immigrant and refugee children. Parents, I hope you're hearing this. Among us, in our students, there are refugees from Congo, from Rwanda, from different parts of Africa. We have children of immigrants who are here with us in our school, large numbers. And we welcome them because that is the face of Christ. And I hope we all welcome everybody. Perhaps this explains why an openly gay man, Moroka, read the first reading at the papal mass at Madison Square Garden. The entertainment world and the Catholic world were shocked that Moroka did the first reading. Perhaps this explains why he made an impassioned plea for the abolition of the death penalty. Because he said, if you're putting people behind prison and not giving them hope, you're doing the wrong thing. Perhaps this explains his speech to the UN General Assembly, where he made a clamoring call to equality and justice by caring for the environment and excluding those who find themselves excluded. Perhaps this explains why he specially mentions the very dear women religious of this country who, until he became Pope, were under investigation. He's the Pope like of inclusion. He is like Moses. He is the face of Jesus. And here is my third point. Yesterday, when he spoke to the bishops, priests, and the religious in Philadelphia, he recounted the story of St. Catherine Drexel, who approached Pope Leo XIII about the needs of the church. So she went to the Pope and said, please, the church in America, we need help. Pope Leo XIII listened patiently to her and then asked her, and what about you? What are you going to do? Suggesting an answer, after he said that, numerous times during this homily, he kept asking the people, and what about you? In other words, he's just not talking to the bishops and priests, he's talking to everybody. Says, what about you? And suggesting an answer, he invited his audience to missionary discipleship. He said to them, you have a personal responsibility for the church's mission. Folks, the Pope is talking to us. You have a personal responsibility. Don't leave it to the Pope. Don't leave it to Father Satish. Don't leave it to Father Dave. Don't leave it to just people who are in the hierarchy. The Pope is saying each one of us has a personal responsibility for the mission of the church. Your responsibility is to be a missionary disciple. And then he said this, go out to the peripheries and be seen in service to the poor, the immigrants, the sick, and those in prison. He mentioned these four people. Go and be of service to the poor, the immigrants, the sick, and those in prison. It's the personal responsibility of the church. It's the personal responsibility of every member of the church to be a missionary disciple. He had a similar message at the world meeting on families on Saturday night, last night. He asked families to spread the joy of the gospel to the whole world. He said, love, beauty, and truth, that is the mission of the families as they face real life issues. He wants us all to be missionary disciples. So I'm going to conclude with the Pope's words. What about you? What about you? as an institution, Immaculate Conception School and Parish, and as individuals, we have to give an answer. May that be our mission. People of God said,